You know about endangered species. What about what puts a building on our radar in the same way? From a KCK castle to a local mansion, 11 sites caught the attention of Historic Kansas City. That's a nonprofit preservation society. With us today to discuss why certain places made the list and others didn't are Amanda Crawley. She's executive director of Historic Kansas City. Amanda, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Jim Wanster is an active Rock Hill resident and treasurer on the board of Historic Kansas City. Jim, nice to have you too. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, how do you decide, Amanda, which buildings make the most endangered list? And what's the criteria that you guys are working with here?
Yeah, well, I mean, first, the building has to be legitimately endangered. I would say that's the first thing that we look at. And we take nominations from the public and as well as internal nominations from our members and board members. And
people like Jim keep their eyes open
exactly.
for things like this, right?
I mean, a lot of times, you know, your board members and the people who, your volunteers of the organization are sort of the best eyes and ears. And so after we get all of our nominations in, we look at the options, and obviously it has to be, you know, a critically threatened building as well as benefit from listing on our list in some way, either it needs additional public exposure, political exposure, or else it's a project that we're working on that we're sort of looking for more strategic partners.
And so, Jim, ultimately, the list exists. Why?
Well, and I think it's to bring awareness of significant endangered buildings. We often say that once it's gone, it's gone. And sometimes we get surprised by the removal of these buildings that we've driven by or walked by for many years. And to add to Amanda's comments, we're also very interested in the context of the building, not simply the architecture and the architect, but as well as its historical significance within our city, particularly around diversity issues and its surrounding neighborhoods.
And if you guys aren't looking out for this, then who is, I guess,
Absolutely.
Is maybe the question, right?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk about some of these buildings, because I'm guessing that many listeners aren't familiar with some of them. Let's talk about Sawyer Castle. I just rode by it on my bike not too long ago. This is in Kansas City, Kansas. The address, for what it's worth, is 935 Shawnee Road. Amanda, what makes this place special? Tell us about it.
Well, it's just a really incredible building.
It's
a house that either conjures images of a fairy tale or of a nightmare, depending on how you look at it. There's a lot of fables about it being haunted, but it's a three-story brick, very unique sort of Italianate villa design with a tower and arched windows and sort of elaborate porch details. And it's one of the older houses that remains in the Kansas City area.
Now, I think the Star just did a big piece on Sawyer Castle not too long ago. If I remember correctly, it's owned by an absentee landlord, which presents certain challenges here in terms of what a group like yours can do to help rescue a building like this.
Absolutely. A lot of it is raising awareness. The Kansas City, Kansas community has been really interested in this property. And I know that the county has tried to step in and enforce the code violations, and their local landmarks commission has tried to, enforce the general upkeep of the house. And unfortunately, it got tied up in a lawsuit, and so I'm not sure they were able to do anything legally to help. So at this point, it's sort of, you know, continuing to raise awareness to keep the public informed, and maybe something will change and some sort of new solution will shake out.
Okay. Yeah, Jim.
Well, I would simply add that the mansion's a good example of how just letting a building sit is so unhealthy for the building. It is deteriorating. It sits open. Other properties on our endangered list are at least protected.
Hey, have you tried to call the owner of this building and say, hey, come on, buddy, give us a hand out here?
Well, I think there's been numerous conversations over the years, but some owners...
getting too far, I gather.
They talk the talk, but they don't deliver, because it takes an investment just to stabilize a building for the future, and we don't have that investment in this mansion.
Another building, another property that's endangered on the list for 2015 is the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer building. This is along Film Row on West 18th Street, sort of downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Who wants to take that one? Amanda?
Sure, I will. So this is actually new on our endangered list this first year. And over the past couple of years, people have definitely become more aware of the significance of Film Row in terms of Kansas City's history.
And tell us about
that. It was a major, Kansas City happens to be or happened to be one of the major film distribution centers in the country. And so we have a collection of about 20 buildings that are still existing in the Crossroads that were somehow associated with that industry, major picture houses, and also, you know, related businesses like a popcorn manufacturing company. And the MGM building is one of them that has not been rehabbed and is deteriorating. And, you know, one of those cases where, you know, we hoped to sort of bring some attention to that before it becomes too late. And, you know, it's another demolition story.
And this is also privately owned, I gather,
yes,
or not?
Yes, privately owned, yes.
Okay, and have we been in touch with the landlord?
Not me personally, but some of our partners have, yes.
Is there hope on the horizon?
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Okay. So a second one here we're sort of wondering about. Okay. A third one is the Midwest Hotel. This one is at 20th and Main Streets. This is in downtown Kansas City.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because in contrast to the MGM building, the Midwest Hotel for several years had a very uncertain future. It, you know, it's at a very high-profile intersection there at 20th and Main.
Sure.
It's a really interesting five-story terracotta clad building, and for a number of years went through bank ownership and foreclosure. And I was really excited that just a couple days ago, the owner who closed on the property sent us an email and said, you know, I've just bought the Midwest Hotel and I'd like to have a conversation with you. So that's sort of that's the type of thing that we want to happen. Historic Kansas City wants to be a positive, proactive, helpful partner in the rehab of these buildings.
And what happens next in a situation like this, Amanda, where you have the owner saying, hey, let's talk?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to meet for a beer in a couple weeks and we'll just talk through some ideas.
That sounds good.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm not sure yet what his specific development plan is. And so, you know, I just get a sense of his ideas, what sort of needs there are, and if we could be helpful in connecting, you know, in creating partnerships to make that development work out for positive.
Well, only in that it's very exciting when a developer wants to create a dialogue with Historic Kansas City, because often we're perceived as the roadblock to their interest in development. And our perception is that we actually enhance economic development, that by protecting our historic structures, we add to the sense of place that Kansas City is known for. And for those who travel a lot and they think back on their travels, they remember the wonderful buildings and structures and environments that they've visited, and we feel that we add to that sense of place, and therefore that's a strong driver for economic development.
And so in a case like this, you hope to have a conversation that would say, well, here's some things that maybe are worth thinking about, mm-hmm. to preserve this building and keep it the way we want and connect them with developers who can help instill a vision like that, it mm-hmm. sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another one on the list this year is the Nelson Hood and the Kirkwood Mansion. This is a little bit now to the south and to the east, 46th and Rock Hill Road in Kansas City near the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art.
I'm actually going to let Jim take that one.
Jim.
Sure, because that's my neighborhood. And, you know, the Nelson's a great institution, but they've lacked in a master plan for many, many years.
Which is being worked on right now.
Yes, but we've been waiting for at least 10 years, and so we hope to see that soon. And we find the Nelson, what we consider sort of an old model of expansionism to create their office needs and address their office needs. And that is simply to buy surrounding or acquire surrounding properties, knock them down and build what you want. Mm-hmm. And there's other institutions in the city who are taking a fresh approach to that. And that's somewhat of a different conversation. But the properties in peril are the four mansions on 45th Street across from the Reflective Pool. And then the Kirkwood Mansion, which was the home of Laurel Kirkwood.
That's to the east then, right?
To the east, mm-hmm. and was formerly used as the Rock Hill Tennis Club. And it's been sitting empty for 5 or 6 years now. And in the absence of a master plan, the Nelson rolled out the Weiss-Manfredi plan last summer. And it is a conceptual plan and a starting place, according to our friends at the Nelson. But it does show the demolition of all five of those residential properties, sort of disregarding zoning and historic designation. Mm-hmm. And then if you add up the square footage of what they would like to build on those properties, it totals over 77,000 square feet of commercial, retail, gallery space. Mm-hmm. And so And we believe that it's those properties are an important part of the context and the history of Rock Hill and the Midtown area, and would like to see them preserved for the future.
We're talking with a couple of folks from historic Kansas City about this year's list of endangered properties around the metro. I'm wondering, Amanda Crawley, again, Executive Director of Historic Kansas City, where is public opinion these days? Is it more on the side of people recognizing the value of older structures like this, or is public opinion more often on the side of, hey, you know, times change, life moves on, progress, don't stand in the way of progress, Amanda Crawley, let's get on with life. Where are we?
That's a great question. I would have to say that every single year since I've been doing this job, I see more and more public opinion swaying in the direction of preservation. I think particularly the younger Kansas Citians.
Younger folks. That's
younger
interesting.
Folks. I really understand the value of creating an interesting place. And interesting places and interesting communities.
That's not like every other community in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like, you know, there's going to be this new generation of preservationists that maybe look at things a little bit more holistically in terms of the relationship of preservation to sustainability and economic development and, you know, creating places that have character. And so I see that movement coming, and I think it's little by little, but I think that's on its way.
So if people want to connect with Historic KC, they can do so how?
We have a website, historickkansascity.org,
mm-hmm.
And give us a call. You could find us on the website.
That's Amanda Crawley. She's Executive Director of Historic Kansas City. Jim Wanser is an active Rock Hill resident. He's treasurer on the board of Historic KC. Thank you both so much. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.